with the ninth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning if you're listening to us in Buffalo or anywhere around the world. As always, my name is Matt, and I will be doing this special episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, on my own today, reflecting on the Bills selecting Ed Oliver at pick 9 in round 1 of the 2019 NFL Draft. I will also briefly go over my ideal day 2 picks as well, and we'll see if they listen, if they have got telekinesis power, and also go over what talent is still available. Now, before I start, I'm giving a shout out here to Pancho Vila. Buddy, everyone over here in the UK and Ireland are praying for you to fight and stay strong. We're sending you loads of Buffa love to you, and when you get back and beat this, and you ever find yourself in the UK, the drinks are on us, hands down, all the time. And now we go into the first round, pick 9 of the 2019 NFL Draft. I believe Brandon Bean should need to win either Executive of the Year or is a bloody good poker player for the smokescreen. We all heard the rumours before the draft that the Bills would look to orchestrate a trade with the New York Jets for the number 3 pick. But in the end, the board went as Kyler Murray to Arizona, which meant Jets had their choice. They actually went with Quinnen Williams, who we believe there was their top, probably their top pick. And in the end, Brandon Bean managed to stay true and let the board fall to him. And we were lucky at pick 9, we had a wealth of talent of Ed Oliver, Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor, Montez Sweat, all on the board. So at this point, we would know that Brandon Bean would get one of the players that would be high on his list, on his big board list. I would have to say a shout out to Oakland, who I personally didn't think that Helen Farrell would actually go that high. But that's Maycock's board. He has it how he has. And in the end, it's worked out great for us. Now, with Ed Oliver, he's 6 foot one, 287 pounds. He fits well as a 3 technique in this defense. He'll be pretty much lining up out on the outside shoulder of the guard. In Houston, he mainly played as a nose tackle, something he has previously said that he's not comfortable with, and he prefers the 3 down or the 3 tech position on the defensive line. Now, McDermott's defense love to play a penetrating style. We see Oliver have the elite quickness. He can get off the line of scrimmage so quickly, he'd be in the backfield before you could say, "Bob, my uncle." But then again, with the likes of Star Luateli and Harrison Phillips manning the one technique, they can actually disrupt it and use sets the edge. Oliver's got a lot of chances to even make even more of a disruption than people think. I mean, his 40-yard dash, 4.73 seconds. In 32 games, college games, he made 192 tackles, 53 tackles for a loss, and had 13.5 sacks. Now, if you compare that to Quinnen Williams, who went number 3 to the draft, in 24 games, only mustered 91 tackles, had 10 sacks, and 26 tackles for a loss. And Christian Wilkins, who was the third defensive tackle to go, to the Miami Dolphins, but we can actually probably see a pattern there that maybe they're looking to get that pressure up the middle to actually to scare Brady and actually let him know that he's actually time's catching up and he's gonna have to retire soon. But we know Brady, we know Belichick, they'll find a way to actually to beat that rush. But as I said, in 55 games, Christian Wilkins had 192 tackles, exactly the same as Ed Oliver. He only had 40 and a half tackles for a loss and 16 sacks. So what can we see? We can see that in less games than Christian Wilkins and a few more games than Quinn and Williams, that he's a very productive defensive tackle. Now, me personally, I had doubts about him. I mean, I followed some draft scouts when they said that his size is going to be a bit of a hindrance for him. But anyone that can get 29 quarterback pressures on a third down, tied for second in the FBS since 2017, and have 14 batted down passes since 2016, which is tied third, deserves to be a top 10 pick. And to be honest, I would have thought he would have actually gone a lot higher. But hey, who's actually complaining on this one? What makes him good? He excels against the run. He's got that explosive penetration. Whilst playing nose tackle at Houston, he handled double teams very well and could actually even break those and actually penetrate the gaps. But as soon as he gets there, he's got one focus. His eyes are locked on that ball, and he will be there in a heartbeat. He has improved his rushing. I mean, he used his hands to good effect and can beat you either through speed or power. But as I said, people will probably say 6'1", 287 pounds. Is he really a three technique defensive tackle? Could he play there? Is he too small, too light? But you just have to look at the production that he's actually given in his college time and know that with Star Lutalele and Harrison Phillips both rotating in that one technique, that he's going to get a lot more opportunities to impress and show off that elite athleticism. I mean, this is similar to what McDermott had in Carolina when he had Star Lutalele there. He had Quan Short, who, when partnered with Star, he actually pretty much exploded out the blocks and had very productive seasons. So if this can be replicated with the schemes Frazier and McDermott want to run up front, I feel that he can actually be a breakout defensive rookie of the year. Please don't at me at that. Because, as I've said in previous episodes, I'm not too much of a gambling man, but I feel that with the right coaching, the right scheme, and the right players around him, I feel Ed Oliver could be one of those in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Let's say we know it mainly goes to defensive backs, maybe the odd linebacker or a defensive end, but in this instance, why not a defensive tackle? We all know that it's going to be one of those drafts where will the Bills move back up, will the Bills not move up? If you're probably like me, you were baited waiting on Twitter for any news and watching the Sky Sports or NFL Network or whatever you watch the NFL draft on, waiting in UK time till what, 5 a.m. in the morning, hoping that Brandon Bean actually gets that, uses those 9 other picks that we have in the draft to move up back into round 1 and select someone else. But in the end, he felt that there was nothing there, or probably felt there was nothing there to select and actually keep his 9 picks. And we can see him in rounds 2, 3 and beyond actually make a lot of moves with a lot of capital. So even though some people may be disappointed they didn't package up those picks for another first rounder, we know that he is a wheeler and dealer. He likes to make the trades. Maybe nothing fell on his board, but he's got that ammunition that if he wants to package up to get back into the second round this tonight, when this goes out, if you listen to this before the second round starts, if you listen to afterwards, then my prediction may be completely and horribly wrong. But we will play we'll play devil's advocate and say that most of you listen to it now or before round two, so being possibly could actually trade back up into the second or maybe even to the third round with the multiple picks in round four, round five and round seven. He's got enough ammo there to go up if someone falls, they think, so he can go up and grab and they won't be there before the next pick. We know that in the draft there were a few shocks there, a few players you didn't expect to go as they did. I mean, you're just looking at the talent that's still available on day two. I mean, you've got Juwan Taylor. Most people had him as their number one offensive tackle. Most of them had him as a top 10, top 12 draft pick. He's actually fallen. Whether it be potential rumours that he has a knee injury or knee issue, it could be behind the ball, or people don't value him as high as some of the analysts, who knows. Another one that's not much of a shock, but to others maybe a shock, is DK Metcalf. People had him pegged at the Bills at 9, maybe a little bit in the 15 to 20 range, but falling out of the first round altogether, is it a case that people know that his combine numbers were good and that's what they were basing it on, and then going in looking at films and looking at his productivity, that he's doesn't know, he's got limited root tree running ability and he's just using his athleticism to actually make a name for himself. I've never been high on him personally. I just don't think that, I think it'd be more of a bust because of the fact that he doesn't know a full route tree, and I think it's just the inflation of his stock based on his combine numbers. I mean, other talents still available which probably could interest the Bills. Dalton Risner. We could have Irv Smith Jr. Got Chase Winovich, Christian Miller, AJ Brown, Hakeem Butler. I mean, I'll probably be shot and I'll probably get a load of comments either on Twitter or in the comments section if I mention the likes of Byron Murphy, Rocky Sin, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, all defensive backs. Maybe they decide to go a defensive back, maybe a corner in round two, maybe round three. Maybe they don't. But it just shows how deep the draft is, that some of these talents, which have been known to be first round talents, have actually dropped, and some of them could drop even more. Now, I've been studying it, I've been looking at other drafts, I'm looking at what the teams above us could do. I've come up with, me personally, my day 2 and day 3 pick for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, whether it comes true or not, we don't know. We are under the impression that this player may not drop here. Brandon Bean may like a player that they don't think is going to fall to pick 40 or pick 74, that they package up and trade up, or they may feel that they can get him a bit later, trade back down, get more capital, and who knows, with that capital they get if they did trade down, to come back up to get more picks at the expense of the lower round picks. But here we go on here, at pick 40, I've actually gone with wide receiver. I've actually gone for AJ Brown, the DK Metcalf's running mate at Ole Miss. Now, he was a pre-draft visitor. He visited as part of the top 30 visits scheduled by the Buffalo Bills. And he is a good route runner. I wouldn't say he's great, but he knows pretty much all the routes. His best are probably the underneath and the middle intermediate routes, but he can play any root tree that he actually gets asked to do. So, and he can also play in the slot and outside. So you've got the flexibility there. He was one of the most productive SEC receivers in the past couple of years of draft eligible receivers. And at 6 foot, 226 pounds, running a 4.49 40 at the combine, he does use his body well and has the reliable hands to go up and contest the catch. He's good at putting his body in the way and providing that we get the ball gets to him in a position only he can really catch, or it's in an area where it potentially could be intercepted. I feel that AJ Brown, and he should know this, that he can win any 50-50 ball. He has also got, good as a blocker wide receiver, maybe what Robert Woods did a few times during his time here. If we need him to block, say on a jet sweep or a power run or anything like that, he is able to use his upper body strength to maintain his block. The downside, it won't beat you with the Robert Foster, John Brown type speed. He is he doesn't have that second gear to really burn after the catch, and he's not as shifty in his cuts as Cole Beasley in the slot. So you do have limitations there, but he could become a reliable weapon for Josh Allen, and he's one of those pieces that you can play him in the inside or on the outside, and he could, despite his speed, despite his height, actually play a vital part and become a bit of a mismatch. I mean, my other considerations for this pick was Juwan Taylor, Irv Smith, Hakeem Butler, Chase Winovich, and Dalton Risner. I had a feeling that Taylor, Smith, and Risner would probably go beforehand, especially you've got Arizona picking first. They're probably going to want a tackle to protect either, well, more likely going to be Kyler Murray now. We hear that Josh Rosen befriended or removed the Cardinals from his Twitter and Instagram followers list. And I had AJ Brown just a little bit higher than Hakeem Butler. And I felt that a new weapon to a crowded wide receiver core would help Josh Allen, and it would give us a bit more variety and shake up the competition a bit. Now, pick 74. I had a few names here. I had Christian Miller of Alabama and Edge, and Charles, if I pronounce it right, Omeneu, another Edge of from Texas, Drew Samia, a guard from Oklahoma, and even Josh Oliver, tight end from San Diego, I believe. I'll double check that. But in this instance, I went at pick 74 with Zach Allen. Now, I'm hoping that he falls to us at 74. He might go a bit higher, but we shall only see if that is the case. And as I've always mentioned, if Brandon Bean actually feels that he's the guy, Sean McDermott says, yep, go get him. If they don't feel he's going to last to 74, you could see us use those picks 4, 5, 6, 7, any of those combinations to move up to grab him. Now, despite limitations he's had at limitations he has, at Boston College he played in multiple spots along the defensive line. So for Brandon Bean, for Sean McDermott, for Leslie Frazier, he can offer that playmaking versatility in the NFL. He is more of an outside rusher. He's not known to actually he really needs to improve rushing on the inside and on power. But in another downside to it is just the flexibility in his hips. He has that trouble bending a little bit, actually trying to get round the edge. But he has the violent hand. He's a high motor, very aggressive, and playing in the multiple lines along the Boston College front four, developing those techniques at each of those positions, and being a physical run defender, he would be able to set the edge, and he can overcome, my opinion, again, don't at me at it, can overcome, and what's the best word for it, die down any fear that his flexibility will cause him any more issues in the draft. Now, as I said, these are my personal picks. I mean, they varied from the draft, from the mock draft we had in the previous episode, where I think I went for Irv Smith in the round two, and Kalen Saunders in round three. But after the first round pick, which I got wrong, and surprisingly, Alex actually got the first round pick correct, and yet in the poll we put, everyone actually decided to vote for me and my mock. I'd have to give Alex credit that he actually did pick right. He actually stuck true to his boards and we've got Oliver, and that, in my opinion, has actually changed what I think the Bills could do in the coming rounds. As I say, what I think, what Brandon Bean think, are two different segments, two different articles, whatever you want to call it. But who knows? Maybe he's actually on one of these flies that are flying around, actually listening to my to this recording, listen to me say what I believe round two and three should be, and who knows, I might actually wake up, or when watching the draft, actually realize, go, Jesus Christ, has he actually been listening to me? Has he got some sort of more magical power that he actually can, he can hear what I'm actually saying and agree with me? But we will see. I mean, round two, round three, with the way the first round's gone, will be a lottery again. But the big test of character and test of scouting will obviously come from round 4 to 7, where you're going to have prospects that are actually unknown. You're going to have some prospects that should have gone day 2 in round 3. Maybe even round 2 dropping to round 4. So it'll be a luck of the draw. You get that dart, you throw it at the dartboard and hope for the bullseye on the pick. But that is me coming to the end of this episode, this little special episode, just talking about the first round pick and what I believe would actually could happen, or what I would like to happen in round 2 and 3. Alex will rejoin me next week when we have a full recap of the 2019 Buffalo Field draft. So I will say this for this time. Until next time, good evening, good night, good afternoon, and go Bills!
On 3, 1, 2, 3, Bills!